Okay, Romans, the 12th chapter, 1 and 2. Tammy, would you read?
Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect.
Okay. In these verses, what does Paul urge, or what must the Romans, and then in view of that, what must I, you know, do? What must I do? What's he urging these Corinthians to do?
Renew your minds.
Renew your minds. Okay, what else?
Sacrifice.
To present their bodies a living and holy sacrifice. Okay? And what else is he saying? Not to be what?
Conformed
to the world, but transformed. You know, and so did he expect the Corinthians to be able to do this? To be able to transform their minds, to transform their lives so as to what? Why would they need to do that? Why is it important to do that? Be acceptable to God, because it is the living sacrifice. That's, you know, we are to be holy as he is holy. That was his whole purpose in having a holy nation, a people to serve him. And so, you know, that we want to prove, not only do we transform and renew our minds, but it says that we may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect, you know. So as you study and as you transform and as you renew your mind, it becomes evident that maybe, you know, I need to put away some of this, and I'm growing in that. And what I thought before on this subject, well, you know, I've learned better. Maybe I can, you know, I need to change that. And so we renew, and it's not just the how is by renewing our minds. And how we do that is by what? Osmosis? How do we do that? Studying God's Word. Listening to God. Talk to me. And, you know, so that I can renew my mind. And so when I study God's Word and I have that desire, you know, to renew and to grow and transform myself, that it is pleasing to God. Okay? Any other thoughts? What did you all put down? In Romans 13:14, right across the page there, it says, "Put on the Lord Jesus and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust." So not only are we renewing our minds, but it causes us, as we renew and as we transform and we put on the Lord, we start making no provision. Over in Colossians, it's talking about putting on the new self, putting on the old self, you know, kind of thing. And the fruits of the Spirit. I mean, you know, the New Testament teaches us so much about this, about renewing ourselves and growing, okay? So, any other thoughts? Okay? 1 Thessalonians 3. Go there. In 1 Thessalonians 3, let's read first verses 12 through 4, 3. And then 9 and 10 there. Lauren, would you like to read?
"And may the Lord make you and increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Finally then, brethren, we urge you and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ that you should abound more and more, just as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus Christ. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality.
Okay, and then 9 and 10, please, of chapter 4.
But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another, and indeed you do so toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more.
Okay, and what are we to increase in these passages?
Love one another.
And for all men. So love for the brethren and love for the all men. Right. And I really should have, I guess I put down those passages. Did I put down 4:3 on your page? No, I put down 4:2. I want to read again 4:3 that she just read. But this is the will of God, your sanctification, that is that you abstain from sexual immorality. And up above there, he's also talking about growing in our daily walk. Okay, so in our walk, in our daily living, we are to be more pleasing to Him. We are to grow in moral sanctification. To get, you know, and we were just talking about that, renewing our minds and changing our lives and putting on the Lord and those kind of things. So in moral sanctification, you know, we start out as a new babe in Christ, and there's some, and we don't know everything. And there's things, you know, that we participated in the world, and sometimes, you know, we want to do away with those things, and so we began studying and putting off, and we become more and moral sanctification, being set apart for God's holy use, okay? And you know, what you have any thoughts about that? Okay? Why? I asked why. Why should we do this? What did you put down? So that? To please God?
To be sincere and blameless.
To be sincere and blameless. Before God. Isn't that what we want? God wants that for us. Look what He did for us to obtain that. That's what He wants. Not that I'm going to be perfect, but with His grace and with the attitude and with the constant diligence of trying to be more and more like Jesus, you know, hopefully, if I'm sincere in that, I will put those things out of my life. Not just talk the talk, but walk the walk, as we've heard before. Okay? So, we are to grow in love for one another, and we are to grow in our daily living towards, you know, this moral sanctification. And we're going to look at that in 2 Peter. And Steve just preached a wonderful sermon with that being one of the things that we add to our faith. In fact, it's the very next thing. Okay? So, any other... And you know, how do we do that? How do we grow in love for one another? And how do we learn how to be more like Jesus? Paul talks about it here as the apostles' instruction, as his commandments. He was writing to these brethren. He, you know, and so we can read and we can understand what they wrote. And so it is through the apostles and the prophets and the teaching and the Word of God that we can know. Number one, that we are to do that. And he gives us insight into attitudes that we can have and how that acts. Okay? You can go over to 1 Corinthians 13 and Paul tells those brethren how love acts. Okay? And so, you know, so we can read God's Word and learn this. Okay. Any other comments on the Thessalonian reading? Something that I didn't mention. Okay, let's turn to Philippians 1, 9 through 10. I had to prayerfully study this, and I'm going to present it as in the reading, so that it can be either or. Either way, it is for us to grow in both of, or all three of these areas. Okay, Philippians 1, 9 and 10. Lisa, would you read?
And this I pray, that your love may abound still more in all knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ.
Okay, what are we to grow in or increase in and excel in? Okay. Anybody else put anything else? Love. Okay. The King James Version. Love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. The New International Version. That love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. The Revised Standard Version. That your love may abound more and more, comma, with knowledge and all discernment. The New American Standard. That love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and discernment. And the reason that I read that, because when I read it the first time, I got in the knowledge and discernment of real love. What real love is, because of what's going on in their day and in the passage. But then I read it again, that love more, you know, real knowledge and real discernment because of what was going on in that day. Because in the passages, he talks about false teachers. He talks about, you know, their love and discernment. And so, whether it is talking about growing in knowledge and discernment of what real love is and how it acts. Because he talks about taking care of one another. And how, and then down in chapter 2, he talks about how Christ, emptied himself and serving one another. And all these kinds of things is in the book. And so, you know, For my study and for my understanding, you know, to me it could be either way. Does anyone have any insight or any thoughts contained to? Do we love? You know, do we grow in the love of real discernment because he and real knowledge, so that we can, you know, make better decisions. Because there were false teachers, and there was all this Gnosticism, and there was all this, you know, and the problems that were in their day. Okay?
I think it's talking about love for one another, not love for
yeah.
Someone.
Okay.
I think the love abounds because they grow in knowledge and discernment. And I think that's more also in Colossians 1.
Yes. Okay? So you grow in love, but you've grown in knowledge and discernment, and that makes you love more? Or as you grow in knowledge and discernment, you will love more. Is that what you're saying, Lauren?
I think so.
Okay. Okay. The reason that I brought that up is the why in the passage. Why do I want to grow in love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and discernment. Why? What's in the passage? Verse 9, 10, and 11. Let's read it. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ. See where I'm coming from with this? You want to love, discernment, knowledge more, so that you can discern more and be approve the things that are excellent. Are, you know, the things that are excellent is loving one another, so that you grow in that, so that you may approve the things that are excellent in how you love. Thoughts?
Right.
And he's talking about being filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Christ Jesus, to the glory and praise of God. So, however we take this love as it affects our knowledge and discernment, our knowledge and discernment as it affects our love, both is what we need to grow in and have the attitude towards, so that we may approve that which is excellent to God. Any other thoughts? Any other comments? Okay. 2 Peter. We're not going to spend a lot of time in this. I had lots of notes and everything, but it's, I could not say anything. If you were here and heard Steve's lesson, and it he did a wonderful job on this passage that we've done right here. If you weren't here, get it, you know, check into it and listen to it. It is excellent, you know. And so, in 2 Peter 1, 5 through, and I should have put 10, I apologize for that error. Okay, what are we to increase in and why? Who wants to answer? To our faith add, what?
Nature, knowledge, temperance.
Well, let's start with moral excellence. That's the next verse there. That's the next thing there. Okay. Five. Yeah. A virtue. Yes, it is. Oh, that's true. Virtue. Okay. Sorry. Okay. Virtue. That's right. Moral excellence. Okay. Moral excellence. Virtue. Okay. Anybody want to comment on that? What that is? It's being holy as He is holy. It's becoming more and more like Christ. It is putting aside the things of this world. It's transforming our minds and our walk, just like we talked in the previous verses. Moral excellence. And it takes diligence and it takes courage to do that, you know. And it takes us not being too puffed up in ourselves to realize that we need to make changes and that I need to be more like the Master. Okay. 1 Peter 1:15 says, "But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves in all your behavior." Okay? And then 16, "As it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy." Okay. The next, what are we to add to our faith and moral excellence? And how are we going to do this? You know, this sort of, I love the way the Holy Spirit, you know, puts this, because you're more like, what's the next thing there?
Knowledge.
Knowledge. As you grow in knowledge, You're going to grow in moral excellence if you allow it to work in your lives, aren't you? And as you grow in moral excellence and this courage of, I want to be better, what's that going to cause us to do? Study more. Right? So, grow in knowledge. Real knowledge. Real knowledge. Not the false stuff out there. Not knowledge of the world. But real knowledge. Okay. What's the next one?
Self-discipline.
Yeah, self-discipline. Self-control. Man, that's a hard one, to control our passions, isn't it? Any thoughts on that? Do we have any trouble with that? How many of you have conquered that? No. No. So we're still growing in that. And we will be growing into that probably until we breathe our last. And hopefully we're not going to be like the people that we're going to be talking about here in just a minute. Okay? So, self-control. What's the next one?
Patience.
Perseverance. Steadfastness. Okay? And that means being consistent, doesn't it? You know, I tell you, if we persist in something, like in raising our children, or in trying to deal with our anger, or trying to deal with our speech, or trying to deal with making excuses why we don't, you know, do our Bible study and this kind of thing. You know, it takes persistence. It takes steadfastness. It takes us, you know, saying, I'm going to do it, and praying to God, give me, you know, the will to be persistent in this so that I can grow in this and add this to my character. Any other comments?
I always thought that when it was talking about perseverance, because the first thing is self-control, and then it says perseverance. And to me, you might have the strength to overcome something and be patient with it one time. But if that same thing keeps happening to you over and over again, that's when the perseverance starts to come in.
Exactly. Even in times of difficulty. And that's what 1 Peter is all about. Doing right, even when suffering. Doing right when doing right is not popular. Doing right. Or in these, overcoming, as Jamie said. You know, because it's difficult and you need to persevere. Okay. Godliness. Attitude towards God. Okay. The trust and respect that we have for Him and our attitude towards His Word and attitude towards doing His Word in our lives. Any other thoughts on that? And the Holy Spirit put in this one. What else did He put in that we're to grow in and add in our character as we become more and more like Christ? What is this?
Brotherly kindness.
Brotherly kindness. Attitude toward brethren, our neighbor even. You know, brotherly kindness, especially brethren. Okay? To do them good, not evil. And there's passages, Steve, you know, elaborated on this. Any thoughts on this from you all before we go on? And love. You know, if I was writing this, I'd have probably put love on the first, you know? But the Lord knows that, I mean, this is the highest form of love. And as we grow, we become more and more like Christ. We put on more and more love like Christ had. Okay. You know, we pray for people. We do for people. We are long-suffering with them. We act right even though they don't act right. All those things that we learn through gaining self-control, persevering through it, more knowledge, more moral excellence. we end up with love in our character. Any thoughts? Yes. Yes.
Sorry.
All right. I'm sorry.
Today.
That's fine.
I'm also just looking at this, just seeing that kindness comes before love, because you may not really love someone. You know, you may be like, do I really have to do this for this person? I really don't like them. You know, we don't get along, whatever. But I think that if you're kind to a person over and over, then you kind of have a mutual respect, and you build that up, and then it becomes love. Because you may not just like someone or love them. It might take actions of kindness before it leads to love.
No, this is caring love.
This is caring love.
You have brotherly kindness. Whether you have an affection for that person or not, they're your brother. They're going to do what is best for them over your own feelings.
Right. And it's non-hypocritical. It's non-hypocritical. It's always for their good. And, you know, and like you say, we pray for them, we do for them, no matter what. Because it's that kind of love. Okay. Now, let's... Why? I ask why. So, why should I add these things to my faith? What did you put down?
Verse 11.
Read it.
Mm-hmm. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you.
Exactly. And above there, that's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. Above that, it will render me neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus or in my service to the Lord. 1 Peter 2, 9 through 12. Okay? Let's read that.
What is the answer to what is the condition of one?
Yeah, already one is. Okay, that's fine too. That's fine. Okay?
And if we don't add these things to our faith, we may be transformed, or conform. We may conform back to the world.
That's right.
You know, we don't practice these things as Christians. We're subject to be just like the world again.
Mm-hmm. And it also says that we will never stumble if we practice these things. Does that mean we're never going to make a mistake? Of course not. It's sort of like what Candace was saying, that we won't stumble back into the world. If we're busy adding these things to our faith, not only will it keep our faith strong, but we'll be better. And the next time we come up against something, maybe we won't stumble over that as badly, as react to something as badly, you know, make the wrong choice, you know, as we did before. Because we're adding these things and we're diligent about it, and we want to, and it's important to us. Okay? And what about the person who doesn't add these things? That's the scary part too. What's the downside of not adding these things? What's the Holy Spirit say they are? Blind and short-sighted.
Unfruitful.
Right. What, dear?
They forget the blessings of Christ.
They forgot, you know, their purification. It doesn't mean, oh, you know, they have Alzheimer's or something like that. But they don't act in a way that it means something to them. It doesn't excite them spiritually. And I'm not talking about a bunch of emotionalism, but I'm here to tell you, it should make us emotional that Christ died for me and that I should live for Him. But this is talking about just a feeling good, you know, pitter-patter thing. but that we don't forget what Christ did for me and you, and that it causes us to want to be more like Him and serve Him and be fruitful for Him and bring glory and honor to Him. Any other thoughts on that? Thank you. Okay. What words in 2 Peter 1:5, and you know, this is just a follow-up on this, and 1:8, 2 Peter 1:5, now this applying all diligence in your faith, supply, so forth and so on, and verse 8, for in these qualities, or if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless or unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. What are the words that if practiced lead to a more useful and fruitful life? What's the point?
I put diligence.
Diligence. Okay. What?
Applying.
Applying. That's right. Or increasing. Adding and increasing. Okay. We're talking about in this lesson, I can grow. I can learn. I can change. If I am diligent and if I increase, if I add these things, okay, I can be more fruitful, more useful, ensure my salvation. We're talking about blessed assurances. Ensure our salvation, as Pat brought up in her verse at the beginning. Okay. So, any other comments about that? Okay. We will stop there. Lord willing, we will finish next week because I have one more.